spirits or tricks that are tried to come across any of us or at any of us, Lord, in this call. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is your spirit, Lord, going out over the airways to different parts of the world. And that is so amazing. And we thank you right now, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. I just can't stop thanking you for everything, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bless all of us. I ask you to touch those who are not on the call yet but are coming, Lord, and help us just to really hear your word, Lord, and keep it into our hearts and be able to apply it as we leave this call today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Who joined us?
Good morning, Jay. It's Fran. How's everybody doing?
Oh, good morning, Fran.
Good morning, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Good morning, Terrell.
Hey, Terrell. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hold on. Just give me a second.
Who is that?
Micah said good morning.
Oh, how cute. Good morning.
Good morning,
Micah.
That's so beautiful.
That's fine, anywhere. We're late. Okay.
Jesus, help me, please, Lord. Please.
We're in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And we are on the
17 or the end of 16. Let's see.
End of 16, going into 17.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about a lot of things, and we covered the fact that I need to stop 1 minute and pray because I'm having a problem here. Hold on a sec.
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, you know what's going on. You know the attack of the enemy that has been ongoing.
Yes.
I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus that you would bind every unclean thing that is coming against you right now, Lord. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
I'm asking you, Lord, to let it overflow and take over and not hinder this message in Jesus' name.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
We talked about Saul last week and how a spirit, and the way that it's worded in our Bible, it almost seems as if God sent or put an unclean spirit. God can't put that, but he can allow circumstances or unclean spirits by not protecting us. And Saul had done just one egregious thing too many in disobeying God, and there were consequences. So Saul found himself with a troubling unclean spirit, and it torments him. We're going to go forward, and we're going to start where we left off, which was verse, help me out, Alexandra.
Now, I'm thinking 20.
We're in 17.
But we can start in 17? No, I think I could start there.
No. Let's finish. It was really close.
I think 19.
Okay, that's about right. Then Saul sent messages to Jesse. Yep.
Okay. All righty. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep."
Stop, Alexandra. I'm sorry. We had gotten past that. The Philistines had gathered. They were taunting them day and night. For 40 straight days, David came with his brothers, and this is in chapter 17. And David came, his father sent him to bring something to his brothers, some food and whatnot. The brothers were not very welcoming, especially the oldest brother, and basically told him, why don't you go back home, and accused him of not having a sincere heart when David found himself, you know, not feeling too good about what the Philistines were taunting Israel every single day. So go to the 17th chapter, and here David is going to go to Saul because, you know, the word has got out that there's somebody, you know, saying that they're kind of willing to make this, to do this battle. Remember, I want you to hold this in mind because it's going to come up today, that when David was inquiring of the men about, and the men began to tell David that there's a great reward for whoever will, you know, defeat this 9-foot, nine-inch Philistine named Goliath. When David is just a child himself, basically, he hasn't even reached 20. So one of the rewards was that Saul promised that anybody who would defeat this giant would get the hand of his daughter in marriage. Now, that makes you part heir to the kingdom of Saul, which means that, you know, you're now in royalty if you marry this daughter. That was part of the reward. Okay, so let's go to verse 33. No, look at 31, and we'll go from there.
17:31. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said, David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David
stop right
said,
there. Let's stop for a second. First, one of the things that we see is that Saul, now, if David went out there and, you know, got killed, it would even bring more fear into the heart of Israel. But remember, David has been, you know, playing the harp for Saul and calming that spirit that comes upon him periodically. But we'll note that at this time, remember, David would go back to his father's house periodically to tend to the sheep. So even though Saul has knew David, he didn't seem to know David that well, but knew him well enough to know that the Lord of Israel will be with him. And what is that? Remember that we talked about, well, where was Jonathan in all this? We talked about this last week. Where was Jonathan?
Right.
Jonathan, who had just, you know, had such victories against the Philistines?
Mm-hmm. His season was done.
His season for this battle was finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And we'll see how that goes. Now,
okay.
David has courage, remember? One of the things mm-hmm. that was passed to Saul when he was anointed king was courage, prudence, wisdom. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit empowered Saul with to be king. Saul didn't have any of that prior. Remember? So afraid that he was hiding in the tool shed? So look at what God can do. God turns around, but now that Saul has lost that, and the Spirit of God has left Saul, which I don't want any of us to ever take lightly, because the Spirit of God can leave us if we keep tarrying and keep grieving his Spirit. So here we have, now the Spirit is with David, and David has just been still playing a harp, you know, doing his thing, playing a harp, helping my dad, playing a harp, helping my dad, back to the king, helping my dad, go and turn around and bring my brother some food because I'm too young to even be in the army. But when the courage of the Lord and the strength of the Lord comes upon you, and it's not just for David that I want us to be mindful. A lot of times we will look at somebody and we will make a judgment about them. Oh, they're not smart. They're not old enough. They're too young. God chooses who he chooses.
Amen.
And again, man looks at the outward appearance, but God is looking on the heart. And he had empowered David, but who knew this? Who knew that David had been anointed king of Israel? And David just went along about his business, not making a big issue of it, not even talking about it. He's just, hey, I'm a shepherd boy when I'm not, you know, playing a harp for the king. But now the courage has come upon him. Because I want us to understand, because a lot of times I think we're a little hard on ourselves. Sometimes when you know the Holy Spirit dwells within you, there is times when his Spirit, the Bible will call it, falls on you. Well, does that mean you didn't have the Spirit prior to that?
Mm-hmm.
So what am I saying? Well, I either have the Spirit or I don't. But the Lord says there's times when the Spirit of God will fall on you. In other words, there will be a fresh type of anointing and presence of him. In other words, the presence of the Holy Spirit is drawn up in you.
Hallelujah.
Let me give another example of that. Peter and John are walking by Gate Beautiful. This is fast forward all the way to the New Testament. Jesus has rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit is descended on the people in the upper room, and they're spirit-filled. The apostles are spirit-filled, but they're walking, and they're getting ready to go into Gate Beautiful, which is just the name of the gate in front of the temple. And there's a crippled man, and the crippled man is saying, begging. And the Spirit of the Lord falls on Peter. Now, Peter was walking in the Spirit in the first place, but something else. There's something that happens sometimes with his children where all of a sudden we're taken over. And he turned and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. How many times had Peter, by now, walked past the same beggar at the temple?
Mm-hmm.
But this day, the Holy Spirit moved on him. And when the Holy Spirit moves on you, you're filled with courage and boldness. That is probably unnatural to you naturally.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of courage and a different kind of boldness that can take over. And that's what's going on with David right now. So he convinces, you know, and look at the the metaphor of David being a shepherd in the first place. He's come against, and what was Jesus called but the good shepherd?
Right.
Okay, keep going.
Sure. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with swords and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands."
Let's
so it was. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Amen. Hi, Sheba. There's a couple of stuff I want to address in there. David is doing all this talking, but who is he doing this on behalf of? Is he doing
God.
This on behalf of Israel?
Mm-mm, Holy
is
Spirit.
He doing this because his people are being disrespected?
No.
Mm-mm, that's the Holy Spirit in him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to bring something up. When we come out and start fighting battles, is God even in any of it?
Yeah.
Are you fighting righteous battles or are you just fighting battles? Are you taking up causes because they grieve the Spirit of God living in you, or are you taking up causes because they grieve you personally?
Yeah. Good one.
God is with David, but listen to David's words.
Yes.
He's trying to show that the God of Israel, that there is a God in Israel. My God is being disrespected here, day in and day out. And the Holy Spirit is with him. So I'm just asking you, as we get on our soapboxes for different causes, is God in any of that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why sometimes our efforts in our battle against this, that, and the other, and all these injustices of the world, and this, that, and the other. And they just continue on and on and on.
Yeah.
We're not lining any of our supposed passions up with God. Because if you did, God part is a little bit different than the chaos that's going on down and around us.
Amen.
Now, what am I saying? Are you not supposed to be concerned about injustice in the world, or this, that, and the other, or all these causes? Is that what I'm saying? Or am I saying that maybe if you seek God and he becomes the center of your life, maybe those causes won't be the causes. Maybe you'll recognize that this is just the world we're living in, sin-fallen
yeah.
world, sin-sick yeah. world. So when you hear about something terrible done to children, or kids are being this, or racism or that, or political this and that, what's different? This is the world we live in. It's a fallen world.
Yes.
So where yes. do you think God's heart is? God's heart is in the deliverance of as many people as he can get.
Yes.
But we find ourselves sometimes all off on some passion of what somebody else is doing or somebody else said, and then we got following that for 3 weeks, and Jesus, it's a lot of distraction. Okay, keep going.
Verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling. With, I'm sorry, with the wait. Yeah, with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. Amen. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judea arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines...
I want to stop there before I lose my thought. Notice that when one person is willing to take action, how much courage that can give to so many.
Yeah.
When God is calling you to do something, and you decide that you're going to do something, maybe it's change course. Maybe it's just do the right thing. It has influence on many. Just like when we decide to do the wrong thing, it has influence on many.
Fact.
When we turn around and follow the Lord and do what he's called us to do, you feel like, wow, I'm barely a grain of sand on a beach. How could anything that I'm doing really make such a difference? But look what happens. Immediately, courage came into everybody else from David's victory here.
Yeah.
But David had to do more than talk about it. Remember earlier in the chapter, he was talking about, hey, how can we let this guy disrespect the people of God, and there's a God in Israel, and blah, 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 blah. But you've got to be willing, and God gives that to you, to take courage and take action. Talking about all the problems and what's wrong and why it shouldn't be is just giving more power to the enemy. Because you're losing your strength. It's what we do, not so much what we say. Okay.
Amen. Verse 52. Now the men of Israel and Judea arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shurim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Not to be prideful. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite."
Stop
Amen.
For a second. I want to ask the question. Does anything about that kind of hit you odd?
What about what David did?
Why is Saul asking, who is David? Hasn't David been playing
like
the harp
know.
For him ever since he got the evil spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's saying, who is this kid? And the guy says, he's the son of Jesse. Jesse, bring him here. Who are you? I'm the son of your servant, Jesse. In other words, David has to identify himself again. What do you think's going on there? How could you not know? I'm the guy that plays the harp every time you start flipping out.
Right. Think
and
the
now
enemy?
You're asking me, who am I?
Power.
Stands with him.
I think that
Saul
was really losing it.
Oh, you think Alzheimer's or dementia was setting in like that?
Well, you could call it that, but the Bible calls it an unclean spirit.
I see.
So Saul apparently, you know, was, you know, what somebody might call become schizophrenic. Remember, David shows up when the unclean spirit is there and quiets it down.
Righto.
Maybe Saul, the guy, the man, didn't even know who David was. Because Saul wasn't present when David comes to deal with him when he has an unclean spirit.
Oh,
Saul was not insincere when he's asking these questions. Okay, Saul resents David. Keep going.
I have a question. Doesn't the spirit know? Just as the casting out into the pigs, the devil said, now, you know, Saul, what did the devil say? I know, David, I know.
The unclean spirit.
But who are you?
Yeah, you're talking about, that was when these other disciples were trying to cast out an unclean spirit, and they ended up getting all beat up.
So doesn't that show that the devil knows the Holy Spirit?
The unclean spirit knows who you are, but Saul the man may not have. Remember, now back to the story you were referencing, Terry, demoniac in Mark, the 5th chapter. When Jesus asked him, what is your name? The devil answered. So whether the man was in there and said, that's not my real name, why are you saying that? I don't know. But I know that when I've dealt with unclean spirits, a lot of times the person does not know what was said or happened when I'm talking to the unclean spirit. I'll say, well, you know, when you said, I said that, they don't know. Because they're not even, it's like the person is suppressed. And this is a speculation. It's just that there's got to be a reason Saul doesn't know who David is. That doesn't even make sense. The story is not out of sequence.
Right.
So what happened here? Why does Saul not know who comes and plays for him? Maybe because the one that he is, you know, what he's possessed with at the time doesn't even remember David.
Right.
Okay, keep going.
Sure. 18. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt.
I want to stop right there.
Yes.
That is just so beautiful.
Wow.
Now remember again, Jonathan, who has had many victories, who knows how to call upon the name of the Lord, who has slew a regiment of Philistines, him and his armor bearer alone. Jonathan, who is born the son of Saul, the first king of Israel. And yet he really loves David and takes his robe.
Yeah.
His robe. The robe of the son of a king is the robe of honor, and he is passing it to David. That's what love looks like.
Yeah.
There is no way in the world most people, Jonathan's age and David's age, would not be resenting, wow, I'm the son of the king, and look at all this glory going to this other kid. But instead, that day, their souls were knit together in perfect love.
Yes.
What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing to learn how to love someone else so much that you can be happy for them in victory. You can be happy for the calling God has on their life. You can be happy when God's blessing them. Instead of the first thing out of your mouth, well, why did they get that? I should have got that. I've been praying for that a long time. I never got what I was praying for. Where's the love? Where's the love? You've got to ask yourself that when that envious, jealous demon is tempting you to resent. Recognize him. And I will not resent this person. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their life.
Yes.
How can I help lift them up? How can I put a robe of honor on that person? Even if it's not me. Even if I think I am smarter or more capable, or I thought it was going to be me.
Amen.
What a beautiful thing. Lord, that we should get there with one another. How the church would thrive. Well, this person was made deacon. I don't know why they were made a deacon. I'm a better deacon than they would be a deacon. Why were they asked to be deacon? I don't know. Ask the Lord to just make sure that you learn how to love one another in action. And when these resentful, envious thoughts come into your mind, recognize that is what it is. Don't nurture it. Recognize, wow, I'm not thinking right.
Yes, recognize.
Because if you don't, it will seep into your heart.
Oh, yeah.
And with it, we'll see what comes with that. Because we have exactly both examples. We have Jonathan, whose soul was knit together in love for David. And then you have Saul. Let's see how that goes. Keep going.
So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now,
I want to make sure we understand what that is. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and Saul now is pushing David further and further away because Saul really wants to see David hurt. And you're going to see this as it comes on, but David is having victory after victory and after victory after victory. Keep going.
Now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet the king Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the woman sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hands, as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice.
Okay,
now Saul
right
would...
David escaped his presence twice. This has happened before. It was not the first time. I want to ask the question, do you think that the women singing this song caused all this?
It didn't cause it, but I think it agitated it. Didn't cause it. Seems like that's been lingering for a while.
It's been building.
Yeah, that resentment.
So we're going to go run back to verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. Can I say something, please, here? Please behave wisely.
Yes, ma'am. Please answer that.
On our job, behave wisely. Be a person who is without reproach.
Yes.
That is why the people loved him. Everybody's always watching, and especially if you're in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Behave wisely. So the people are noticing that David, you know, and so they love him. Now the women come out and they start bringing these praises. I don't think for 1 minute that their intent was to agitate Saul.
No.
I don't think so for 1 minute. For one, you know, David is still very young, and we're, you know, but where does Saul take it? Oh, wow. So what is he going to get next, the kingdom?
Right.
What is Saul afraid of losing?
Power.
He's afraid that Samuel's words, that this kingdom has been torn from you, is coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And look how he's being used to make that happen. So this spirit the next day falls on him. And I want you to understand, because it's a little bit strange, it says, and he prophesied inside the house. I had to look at that a couple of times. I said, he prophesied, or you mean David prophesied? No, he prophesied. And what they meant by that, or the way the word prophecy is being used there, is that the prophets also would have were prone to physical type unusual gyrations. So a prophet, even a prophet of God, could be taken over, and then their behavior may seem a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
And their gyrations may seem a little strange. That's what was happening here. He was in the house and started possibly maybe jerking around, or, you know, he looked strange. He was acting strange. And they knew it was spiritual, because both kingdoms can take over the body and use it in a way that looks unusual to people.
Wow.
Let me give an example.
Yeah.
It looked pretty unusual in the upper room in Acts when the Holy Spirit fell and people just began praising the Lord in different tongues. A whole other spirit had taken over their bodies. It looked pretty unusual when Saul came in contact with the prophets and all of a sudden he started dancing and prophesying. In other words, things coming out of his mouth and singing, and Saul's prophesying. But we also know that the other side not only mimics, but also has its unusualness, too. If you've ever seen a person demon-possessed, you'll know what I'm talking about. And this particular spirit was, you know, manifesting is the word I use, coming in contact with them. It was manifesting in the house. And even though David is playing the harp to calm it down, it ain't happening fast enough, is it? Because Saul grabs the spear and in his mind decides he's going to pin David to a wall. David escapes, and this had happened more than once. Keep going.
Verse 12. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved. Go ahead.
I want to make sure we understand. So Saul said, Saul is now afraid of David.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he made him captain of 1,000?
It wasn't because of what the girls were singing, was it?
No. He made him captain of 1,000 so that he would be out there in battle.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to making him captain of the guard.
Gotcha.
Which would be captain of the guard, he would have had to be at the meetings that Saul had. Saul's going to meet with the captain of the guards and the people in those positions, you know, prior to battle. But the captain of just the captain, doesn't meet with Saul. And Saul doesn't want to meet with David. He doesn't want David in his presence at all.
Right.
So what has happened? Saul has decided that what David brings with peace and the harp has now been overshadowed by his fear of David and his loathing of David.
Mm.
So what does that leave Saul? Nothing. Saul doesn't have any other way now to deal with this unclean spirit that torments him in his life. Because it has ostracized, it is in process of trying to ostracize the very person God sent to help you.
Right.
I have seen this in our own lives, where God may be sending somebody to help you, but the devil gets a foothold in your mind and said you don't like this person or resent this person, or you don't really want to talk to this person, or you don't want this person anywhere near you, when God is the one that sent that person.
Ooh, preach it.
Yes. And then you're begging, Lord, send somebody. Lord, help me. Lord, I can't take this trial. Lord, the person he sent, you sent away.
Come on now.
Why? Because of some kind of foolishness that got in your head that you entertained. Ooh. Mm. You didn't correct it. You didn't pull it into reins and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. What did this person do to me? Well, I don't really like the way, sometimes I don't like her tone, or I don't like his attitude, or he says stuff that's kind of stupid sometimes, or so I don't even want to be around him. Well, you're pushing away maybe the very person God has put there to help you through this trial you're in.
Mm. Amen.
If that person may have the answer to your prayer. But you're going to just keep, no, Lord, send somebody else. I need somebody. Where's Lord? Where? Why haven't you answered? I did. He gave Saul relief, but Saul has now removed the relief from his presence. Okay.
Wow. Verse 14. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judea loved David because he went out and came in before them. Amen.
Amen.
Then,
again.
Yes.
Second time.
Amen.
Behaving wisely. Second time.
Yep, got
it's
it.
Very important, children of the living God, that you behave wisely. Somebody give me an example of what does behave wisely like how? How about like not buying into? Don't tell me people weren't noticing this little friction between Saul and David, right?
Right.
So somebody comes up and says, hey, man, how you doing? Because, you know, I'm seeing like Saul's been kind of like dissing you. He's not really treating you right. Why do you have to be way out here in these battles where you can get seriously hurt when you've been so triumphant?
Mm-hmm.
That's like Saul's acting like he doesn't really value you. Does David play into that? No.
No.
Even if you're feeling it, the wise thing to do is not feed it.
Right.
Because that very person coming to you, telling you, yeah, have you been noticing how Saul's been treating you? That very person, you grab a bone, you usually take a bone.
Ooh.
You take a bone, you carry a bone.
Mm.
You take gossip, you'll also receive gossip.
Yeah.
People who will receive gossip will carry gossip. But David behaved wisely. Somebody comes to him telling him, well, solve this or solve that, or why does he have you way out here? And why aren't you a captain of the guard, David? You should be up there with Joab. You should be a captain of the guard. You're more capable than anybody else. But David behaved wisely. That's an example, only one example, I'm sure, of many.
Yeah.
I'm sure David kept himself above reproach with women.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships. people are coming your way trying to, you know, oh, baby, oh, if they're out there dancing in the street singing his name, don't tell me they weren't trying to show up at his tent.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But David behaved wisely. It is not wise to get involved with a whole bunch of these women that are all excited because you're a celebrity now. He behaved wisely and above reproach, so you're not hearing any bad reports come. In other words, Saul is getting nothing that he can use against him.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Samuel's sons, who were messing with the women that came to the gate.
Right.
And how did that end up in the end? They were taking bribes and not doing right.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came time for them to be leaders, they were rejected.
Yeah.
So here we see David. Wow, there's nothing we can reject him over. The people are just loving him even more. Keep going.
17. Then Saul said to David, "Here's my older daughter, Merib. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him."
Stop right there.
So
stop for a second. What is he saying here? I want us to be sure we're understanding the King James-ish versions. He's saying, remember Saul had promised that whoever killed Goliath would get his daughter in the first place, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But instead, David never brings it up. Why? Because, he's behaving wisely.
Right.
When somebody offered you a position on your job, and all of a sudden they're not really giving it to you, you don't need to remind them that they offered it to you. They know doggone well they offered it to you.
Yeah.
But they're in a position of power to not do what they said. The wisest thing you can do is be quiet and take it before the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. Yay.
And Saul's intent here is if you go out there and you are trying to be valiant in front of, you know, to please me and the Lord, maybe he'll take some, you know, chances that he maybe shouldn't take trying to show off. And he'll die at the hands of the Philistines, not by my hand. In other words, he's trying to goat David into behaving not so wisely, taking chances he shouldn't take, showing off.
I thought it was to combine the government so that he could grow and have David, believing that David could not sustain against the Philistines, that the attention would be off of Saul for killing David, but rather the Philistines killing David. And also, when King Herod promised half of the kingdom to his wife, who gave up John the Baptist, I thought that once a king says something, once he promises something, he has to go through with it.
He can do what he wants to do. The king, it's his word. He's supposed to stand by his word. But this is the first king of Israel. There's not really a great president. This is, I'm it. I'm the first one. I'm making all the rules. There's no rules. I'm the first king that Israel's ever seen. And this, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. Saul really is trying to get David killed. And he's trying to goat David into making mistakes. And now he's dangling what he promised he'd do in the first place, which is, you know, give David his son. Okay, keep going.
So David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But it happened at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Mahalite, as a wife. Now, Michael, Michael. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Saul, Merhab was supposed to be given to David, but Saul did not keep his word.
Of course not.
And David called himself being humble. Well, who am I that I should be the son-in-law of the king? I'm from a humble family. And, you know, he just tried to downplay his greatness in
right.
battle and that go with him as to not be a threat to Saul.
Right.
As opposed to puffing his head up and saying, yeah, well, that would be great because, you know, I'm all of that in a bag of chips.
Right.
Good choice, Saul. About time you keep your word. But instead, David, already sensing the tension and using wisdom, he says,
yeah.
I'm just a humble guy. The humble guy.
Yeah.
And Saul turns around, doesn't keep his promise to give that daughter to somebody else. Okay, keep going.
Wow. Now, Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore, Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today.
Okay,
and Saul,
so what's going on? Hold on a second.
Sure.
Saul,
he put,
that his youngest daughter is in love with David.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul is thinking, I'll use her as a snare. How is that a snare to the Philistines?
You said, how is it fair?
How is it a snare?
Is it because young women aren't mature and can cause a lot of emotional stress?
It's more that the Philistines will be far more interested in killing David if he's an heir to the kingdom.
Oh.
So, yeah,
okay.
Let me go ahead and give him my daughter, and that'll just kick the Philistines off even more against David. David has already become quite the thorn in the Philistine side. So imagine now he's married to the king's daughter. Now he's really worth pursuing and killing, isn't he?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand what's being said there. This is all another opportunity for Saul to try to, you know, kill David.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop right there. He says that today you will be my son-in-law, but we're going to see how he turns around and does wrong yet again, but we're out of time today. So we're going to pick up in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, verse 22,
okay.
Next Sunday. Lord, and a blessing to the reading of His word. Thank you, Alexandra, for reading. Tammy, I didn't get to the verse that I wanted you to back. Anyway.
That's okay.
Thanks for being
here.
Who would like to close us in prayer? Since we have a guest, Roxanne, will you close us in prayer?
Oh, that's beautiful. She's probably on mute. Give her a second.
Is Roxanne still with us or no?
I'm here.
Lord, I thank you for our blessings. I thank you for today. I thank you for this wonderful word that we got today. I thank you for all these wonderful people that have gathered today to listen to this beautiful word of God. And I just want to bless everyone to have a prosperous, productive, healthy, safe week. Please protect our families and our children and our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. Let us just walk in our light, Lord. Just let us speak with you. Speak like you. Let us act on the fruits of the Spirit this week, Lord. Just protect us and just let us be the light of this world that we're living in. Just protect us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week. And Miss Jeanette, the crew will be waiting for that phone call this afternoon. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for being on the call, friend.
No problem. I connected my brother, too. I'm going to drop and call him back.
Amen.
Love you, my friend.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.